Hi everyone, welcome to Friday's Righties House. Hope you're all safe and well. Today, on International Women's Day, we're going to talk about the Let Girls Play campaign. Arsenal and Chelsea go through to the Conti Cup final before chatting about some men's European games this week and looking ahead to Liverpool, Manchester City in the Premier League. And my guests are Flo Lloyd Hughes and Ryan Hunt. How are we doing, guys?
Doing all right, thanks, man. How are you?
Really, really well, you know? Yeah. I'm not really well.
Why are you looking at me? It's like
because I told you why I wasn't feeling great because I didn't go to gym.
But that's okay. I want you to make sure you're not gym shaming yourself.
Yeah,
and anyone
like
else who's listening is not gym shaming themselves. You have to go. You have to listen to your body. Don't force yourself when you're tired.
Mm.
And also, you need to find the joy and the fun in exercise. So you know, it's okay. But no days off. The elite mindset and the hustler mentality. You know, not everyone's built for that. Some people just want to have a bit of fun and do a bit of exercise.
It's a warm down day.
You know,
it's a warm
you know what
down
it comes
day.
Down to? You know what it is? It comes down to when you're playing. And I think it comes from, I'm going deep. I'm going to go deep.
Yeah,
quickly.
Why not? It's Friday. Let's do it.
I remember when I got into the England squad and realized what those guys did on a daily basis, you know, the training they did, how good they were, how precise they were, how concise, how serious they were about what they were doing. And so when I left the England squad the first time, and all the England squads you go to, you leave and you feel like standards have got to go high. And you feel like anytime you do any kind of training and you feel, no, that weren't well, you say, would Shearer be training like that? Would Cole be training like that? Would Ferdinand, you know what I mean? Would Owen, would Fowler? And you just, that stays in your mind, man. That stays, so like now, I know like being 60, I don't need to worry about what they're doing now, but you it's very hard to not think like that because you feel guilty about not putting it in. It's like, come on, you got to hit the wall, you got to grind. Ah. Mm. And I cannot get rid of it. So sometimes I do, when I do the, like my gym work and stuff, like it's the bike and the weights and everything like that, I always feel bad going in, but then I always feel great coming out.
But do you know what your age mates that you were playing with at England are doing in the gym? Are they?
Yeah, but they're all...
Like, are they hustling?
They're all kind of still doing some fitness, you know. Just look at the guys. You look at, like, Shearer still looks okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he looks
good
for his size, so he's still doing his good stuff. You know what I mean? You see someone like... See
so
someone
they're still
like
living rent-free in your head, basically.
Yeah.
You can't shake
see
it.
See someone like Teddy. Teddy looks just... He looks like a Pierce Brosnan. He looks amazing. You know, you look at the guy. Even Dwight York, I saw the other day, ripped. You know, so...
Hey, speaking of enjoying exercise for fun, come on, that's a good link.
She is.
That's a good link.
That's why you're a professional and I'm very much an amateur, Florence.
Today is a big day, Ian, isn't it? For
International Women's
for
Day.
International Women's Day. So, yes, you're welcome. Thank you. It's great to be here. No, but it's also a massive day for the biggest girls' football session of all time.
Of all time. Yeah, this one's brilliant again. FA and Barclays put on the biggest ever football session. 400,000 girls.
465,000 girls.
See, I mean, it's just getting
so many
bigger
girls.
And bigger.
You can't even count them anymore.
Honestly, whereas last year it was like 280,000. Obviously delighted with that, with the amount of people that are getting involved. But this one was it's just special. Obviously my granddaughter was involved. We've done some stuff for my granddaughter to put more awareness on it. But the way that the girls are responding, the way they're training, you know what I mean? It was brilliant to see. It's a great initiative. I'm really pleased to be involved with it simply because it is what we're talking about in respects of legacy. It's tangible. It's real. It's something that should be happening after the Euros were won by the ladies who didn't have the journey what these girls are having. You look at 13-year-old girls now, and I said it the other day, you know, they see football on the TV with the women and the girls as normal. That's where we are. You know, that's where we are. And that is why it was such a great day seeing so many girls. And like I keep saying, it's not about just trying to find Lioness, trying to find top players. Those things will happen just when you've got the opportunity to play. But it's just to play, be with your friends, teamwork, camaraderie, all the stuff that you do, what football brings, you know, that's life skills that football brings just because you want to play. You know what I mean? It's really, really that simple.
Yeah, I think also, even what we were talking about at the top of the show, it stands true because you obviously being a former elite footballer and your granddaughter's ambitions to be an elite footballer, and she is crazy talented, that those are really important, and these football sessions and more schools participating and offering girls football in general, and the pathway is really important. But the reality is 90% of these girls aren't going to be professional footballers, but the habits and the relationship that they build with football and exercise right now, that is a habit for life, and it will bring them joy and fun and health for life.
And remember, it's the same with the boys. Not all boys are going to go on to be, but most boys do play, and they've got the capability and the ability to play. And what we're trying to do is make it the same for the girls. It's just there if you want it. That's what this is about. And as time goes by, hopefully, you know, they get to, you know, like even the amount of girls and mums and dads I was speaking to that are saying, yeah, like a week before, it was like, yeah, okay. Then they come and do it. Then all of a sudden, bam. Mm. Then mums and dads and I've got to start trying to make teams and finding teams. And that is where we want to be. When they want to find teams of the levels that they're in, we can make sure that that's there for them. That is what this is about. So as they can play. That's the main thing. And it's one of the things I get a lot of joy out of, because you can see genuine joy when you're watching them, you know, trying to kick it around. And when you're watching the girls who are quite good, and when you see what they're doing, that it's just brilliant to see that they've just got the opportunity to do it if they want. And that's just basically it.
Do you know who had the opportunity to do it if they wanted, and pretty much when they wanted?
Go on.
It was Arsenal on Wednesday night. Bro.
Stina.
Wow.
Come on.
These links today are on fire. I was blown away by Stina Bluxdenius' performance in the Conti Cup.
Yes, she was, because you're kind of like a, kind of got vibe with Stina for some reason, and I love her.
No, look.
Talk to me.
I think it's been a really interesting career time for Stina Bluxdenius at Arsenal, because clearly, since she came in, there was never an expectation that she was going to be Arsenal's number nine for an entire season. She was brought as a solid striker, but there were always other ambitions of who probably was going to be in that position. And she was going to be a squad player, and she was going to start some games, but she wasn't going to be what Arsenal bought Alessia Russo to be. But I do think some of that has actually motivated Bluxdenius in a really interesting, exciting way. I think she offers something, and this has been true even before Russo arrived, that they hadn't had before, which is that runner in behind.
I thought that would have worked with Vivian. Vivian Miedema would have been playing, and that would have like...
Yeah, but when Bluxdenius first arrived and her and Miedema are playing together, we saw some of that and it was really exciting. And it was hard for them to maintain that. Obviously, Miedema then does her ACL. But I do think it's interesting now, because it puts Alessia Russo in a sort of awkward position. I think Bluxdenius has had this maybe tag, which some might see as unfair, but I still think there's elements of it where in those key moments, you think about like Chelsea game at King's Meadow last season, a few chances, other moments where you're like, this is the chance. Yep. She's one-on-one with the goalie and she skies it over the bar. And that is hard to shake off when Arsenal have ambitions to be a title-winning side. At the same time, to have a game like this where you show, okay, you can be clinical.
Yep.
If Bluxdenius can follow that up now in these crucial games in the rest of the season, most notably, say, Chelsea at Stamford Bridge.
Well, that's what you want, the big ones.
Then she gets that number nine, and you feel like it's going to be hard to take it off her, you know?
Yeah, but the way she played, you know, I thought I saw everything. But saying that, Flo, you know, she has scored in big, like the Champions League games and games like that. She scored in big games, Wolfsburg, and so she can score in those games. What I saw in the Villa game, not only the hat-trick, but all-round play looked like somebody who was very, very confident and very comfortable in what they were doing. You know, a link-up play, running in behind, everything was very good. And confidence changes so much.
That first finish was ridiculous.
Beautiful.
I was like, was that really seen about Bluxdenius?
Bam, it was just like so clinical, right? It was something that you're thinking, something could click. Something's clicked where, yes, we've seen her miss some really good chances. And that's probably something she had to focus on. In the moment of the clear chances as a striker, those are the chances that that fans and your manager and everybody want to see you take, because they want to see that you're clinical, so they don't say, yeah, but when the big chances come, she misses them. That's what she should be focusing on, because when I looked at the game against Villa, all the other aspects of her games is there. The one thing that people can point a finger at is, well, how clinical can she be, because we've seen her miss chances. And I think that's quite, we have to wait and see where she goes from here, because that was a very confidence-boosting performance from her against Villa. She was really, really hard to mark. She was unstoppable in that game. That first goal was so like, have that. That's what I do. You know what I mean? And it was really good to see. I think that it's the kind of performance that can, if I'm her, I'll probably look at that performance if I can, as many times, and look at the good things I've done in it. And that's what I used to do when I was going through a bit of a low confidence vibe. I'd get videos of stuff that I'd done that was really good. I'd say, what am I worried for? I can do that. Mm. And that's what she should do. So as when she gets in front of goal or she gets a one-on-one, she's feeling like, you're not going to save this. You have to have the mindset to do that. Not thinking, oh, you know, you're running through and you're thinking about it. You're just thinking about, right, let me see, what's the goalkeeper doing? Bam, good night. Mm. It's got to come like that for you. That can happen with confident performances like yesterday, but then you need consistency. Because if she does that in another 2-3 games, then what happens then? What are people going to say then?
Got 2 games coming up against Chelsea, because one of them will be the final in a repeat. Yes.
I can't deal with another Chelsea-Arsenal Conti Cup final. Oh.
Chelsea beating Man City last night.
Man City 1-0. Lauren James. I thought that Kara Keaton was very unlucky there. It got a deflection. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think...
You still don't think you should have beat her there?
I love like Flo's no sympathy.
It took a bit of a touch off Alex Greenwood, but it didn't really change the trajectory of the ball that much, but it did make it bobble along the ground, which was hard, but it still goes into her near post. I think she's probably thinking that James is going to go for the far side, but I think she could have done better.
You
and
think,
I think
yeah.
she looked shaky during the game, and that was partly down to the way that Chelsea pressed. Mm. I think
it's putting her under pressure.
Yeah, they put under a lot of pressure, and I think that's the natural thing to do, because I don't think she's super comfortable with her feet. I think she's a good shot stopper, but I do think the way that City play out from the back, I think there's an opportunity to pin her in a little bit more. And I think Chelsea did that really well, and the goal comes from that mistake, not from her, but from Alexandri, and that provides the opportunity then for Chelsea to do what they do. And then they clung on for dear life, but they did it, and they are a bit of a patched together team right now.
Yeah, but
Ramirez comes off as well in this game.
Is she injured? Is she?
I don't know. It's unclear how bad the injury is. Like, she came off okay. She walked off, but she came off on like the 35th minute or something. Ooh. And she was getting bashed around a little bit. And she's a very physical player, but she's been kicked quite a lot since she joined the WSL. Because, you know, what you are going to get targeted when you're that. You know, people are going to do that. But
that's why I'm hoping, like, to see her up against Lotta and Leah in the fight. I want to see her, because I thought that she was easily, for me, the best number 9 in the World Cup, Women's World Cup. It's brilliant to see her here. But can we just rewind to the goalkeeper in the other goal, Anna Hampton, and the saves that she made and how good she was another situation where I'm thinking, oh, Anna Hampton was available, playing amazingly.
I know where you're going with this, but actually based off of last season and Hannah Hampton's performances at Villa, I don't think many people would have said, stick Hannah Hampton in the Arsenal number 1 shirt. Now, when Berger and Musovic have struggled for form, I threw in Hannah Hampton's name as number 1, and most people thought it was pretty crazy. Now, look where we've ended up, but I think there's a bit of not luck in it, because the way that Hannah Hampton is comfortable with her feet and her distribution is why Emma Hayes has put her in that spot. But at the same time, Hampton went to Chelsea because she saw an opportunity to probably elevate and level up as a player, even not being in the starting number 1 shirt. And then you take her opportunities even better. I do think she's already shown some progress with her shot stopping and her saving ability. Do I think she's ready to be England's number one? Probably not. Right. But I think these before it's easy to look at these performances and think, oh my God, we should have got Hannah Hampton. But I think she will still struggle to do that consistently across the whole
has
season.
Has she ever had a chance to do that consistently?
Yeah, maybe, she was number one at Villa. Yeah, but when you look at her journey, number one at Birmingham.
For whatever reasons, you know, she's not been a number one. But what you're seeing from her is very good goalkeeping. You know, she's great.
I think she's a great goalkeeper on the floor. Yeah.
She's a great shot stopper. She's now at Chelsea, a big club with big players, putting in the kind of performances where you're saying, yeah, she looks like she's ready. So what you have to do is you have to judge her from here on. You know what I mean? Otherwise, if we go back on these players, then of course you could pick them to pieces. Can they do it? But we don't know if they are now at the place where, you know what, I get it now. I have to do this. And that's what I'm hoping will happen for both of them. I really, really do.
It's going to be a big month for Hannah Hampton and for Stina, two players that we talked about, because Arsenal and Chelsea will play twice, once in the league. At Stamford Bridge on the 15th, and then meet 2 weeks later in the Continental Cup final.
At Molineux.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll talk about both games ahead of them in depth, so we won't go into that too much.
I'm so looking forward to it because
we're going to talk about it a lot.
Of course we should. And like we're highlighting two players that probably have a big say in those games. So, you know, that's why I'm saying you've got to big them up. I'm bigging them up so they can understand that this is the levels, man. Should we talk some Champions League? Can I say, watching Xavi Simons against Real Madrid, Leipzig versus Real Madrid, was kind of like a coming out parade in respects of a performance from someone. He was brilliant.
Dude, over both legs.
He's brilliant to watch. Unbelievable. It was like, you know, and we're talking about somebody who's on loan from PSG to Leipzig, and he's getting the chance to play against arguably one of the greatest teams in the world, Real Madrid, and playing like that. He's playing with his food, as Musa would say. 20, going there and doing that.
He's been really good this season.
You know, playing, putting that, yeah. And he's on their radar
now.
You
know, he kind of did that when he went to PSV as well, because he's had a weird career, because he obviously had that, like, he was like a child star with like a billion Instagram followers, and everyone was just like, oh gosh, Barca, and then he went to PSG, and then it was like, oh, is he going to be one of these people that's just going to fizzle out?
Mm.
You know, he actually played, I think he made his debut under Poch, which was really cool at PSG, but it was still a bit too early for him. The PSV stint, I think, really helped him because it was, I think, just going back home as well and just kind of like having a chance to develop, you could see it was like a really, really important like move for him. Mm. And PSG had this, I think they had a buyback clause as part of the deal when he went to PSV. So getting him back this season and then sending him straight on loan to Leipzig. And he's done really, really well at Leipzig. I have to admit, even after he did so well at PSV, I've been more than impressed by what he's done at Leipzig this season.
It's very good the way they've managed him up to this point, to be honest, right? With the moves he's made.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then, you know, if you could have planned it out, you'd plan it out like that for him to go to Leipzig from PSV. So it's one level, then he's gone up another level. And then you say, you know what, let's just to test him. I wonder if we could get Real Madrid or something in the Champions League, see how he gets on against them. Bam, it's just perfect the way it's moving for him. And you know what it is? He's a consistent performer at 20, a consistent performer. And that's what, when the big clubs are looking, this is why I'm feeling like, obviously PSG, you know, it's very difficult for him to probably get into that side. But when you're looking at a player that is capable of doing that, you know, you think to yourself, at some stage, we've got to try and see if we can get him in here. But like, I if I'm him, I don't think I want to go back to PSG.
No, yeah. I mean, if there's an opportunity to stay at Leipzig for another year, although the thing is, this PSG, you know, Mbappe's going to go, and then there's a really, really good young core.
Yeah, but is he, Ryan?
Mbappe?
That is it.
Yeah.
Luis Enrique said when he subbed him off for the Monaco game, I don't know if you saw this at halftime, afterwards he said he'll leave the club soon, so we need to get used to playing without him.
Wow.
Okay.
Have they finally accepted defeat? Can we say Mbappe's
finishing against Real Sociedad was unbelievable. Both goals, he has
I saw, I think it's somewhere in the group, about the fact that he's mastered that near post finish. It's like goalkeepers at some stage, you think to yourself, is he gonna, because there's
the first goal,
yeah,
he doesn't go near post. He wraps it's around just, the far post.
You know something.
So it's impossible.
That first goal was incredible.
Yeah, but the thing with the
like,
it's yeah, but the ridiculous. Thing
with the first one, he cuts back in, and then what happens is he uses the bodies in front to kind of whip it round.
Crosses over two defenders in their own penalty box at the same time.
Yeah, right. But it's the ones when he's going through on goal. He's finishing in the place where you can miss the most, because the goalkeeper can, if he guesses it right, it's an easy save for him because it's near post. But you just can't. You can't guess it right with him. You know what I mean? I totally understand him curling it round two players. But when you're going through one-on-one, I wouldn't, the balls to finish it there, when people say, why did you go there when you could have went there? But he's opens his body really well. And then the goalkeeper sphink it, and then he just whips it back. It's going to be a brave goalkeeper that says, I'm going to go down to the left. You won't do that.
I was thinking a lot watching Bunny Shaw on Thursday night and what she was trying to do on that side. And Bunny Shaw can play with both feet. And I was thinking how actually, in a way, that's kind of forcing her on her left side to try and beat the goalkeeper at their far post on that side. Whereas you look, I'm not saying Mbappe and Bunny Shaw are at the same level. If you think of them in their context, in their respective games, I think Bunny Shaw is an elite nine and Mbappe is obviously Mbappe. And I do think when you look at the two players and you think, okay, look how Mbappe is approaching those chances and cutting inside on his right because that's his favourite foot and he knows that he can go near post and far post, and how Bunny Shaw is forcing on her left to go across the goalkeeper every time. And she had four chances all on that left-hand side, and the Chelsea defenders pushed her that way, which is fine because they probably know that pushing her on her left is better than her right, but she can play with both feet. And every single time she was like, I'm not going to go near post, I'm going to go far post. And that was so easy for Hampton because she couldn't get the same kind of wraparound and she wasn't cutting inside. And you think about, right, how does she elevate herself to that level where she knows, and players and defenders and goalkeepers know, I have to watch my near post because Shaw's going to go there. Because Mbappe is so hard to predict because you're like, is he going to go near post? Is he going to go far post? And he can do it all.
There's a confidence that comes with that kind of finish when you are probably, when you're that elite. You know what? There's a confidence that comes that with it that is, for me, Rye, you know that if you miss, I'm not bothered. They know I could score. He's not bothered about missing that. He's actually just trying it. He's tried it and it works, and now we can't read when he does it because he's so ultra confident, because he won't get stick for, why did he go near post? He should have went to the far post. He's opened his body because he's so successful at it. The goalkeepers cannot get it right. It's like, I tried to explain to people the Mbappe, the second goal, the volley in the World Cup final, right? Is one of the, like in respects of the occasion and the player, and the way the ball came over, and the way his body, he moves his body to the left a bit to open himself up so as he can get this volley right. And I'm sorry, I probably, in that situation, I'm going to have to take a touch because of the situation. I'm in the World Cup final. I've got to make this happen. He didn't even think. It was just ball came over and his volleying technique was perfect. That's why players like that, he's not bothered about, okay, if I go to the near post and he saves it, not fast. Whereas some people say, no, should have went to the other part, might not get another chance. He's not bothered. He's finishing from a place of elite, pure elitism. He's trying things. I remember when I used to say, when I was playing on a Sunday, because he's scoring goals so regularly, you try different things.
Yeah, I remember the first time we met and you were talking about how you go through games when you don't only try and score off the post. I was just like,
off the post. You want to get yourself into a mode. And I didn't realize I was doing this when I was Sunday football. I was just trying to make the game more interesting. But a lot of them, they just went inside the post. Yeah. Or if they did, they hit the post or they went round the post. But it gave me something in that moment to focus everything on. Because all you're thinking is the post. So you're going to try and get it there. But it's the mentality of your body then saying, right, okay. You get serious. You get into the vibe. You get into the moment.
Not wanting to kind of like big you up too much here, but this is what made you so good as a striker, was that lack of predictability, because you could finish on, you know, I remember you saying that you'd go through games where you'd only try and finish left foot. And then when you obviously you're playing at a different level.
Training,
and then when
yeah.
you go through to the top level and that happens, it becomes more instinctive. You see how many, you know, you look at like Bukayo Saka this season, for example. One of the best things about Bukayo Saka this season is that you've clearly seen him working on right foot finishing in the summer.
Yes.
It's like when NBA players come back and all of a sudden they start shooting threes.
He's been working.
And Saka now is way less predictable in terms of his finishing. he'll like go across the goalkeeper left foot or go like high yes. in the near post right foot. And he's developed not just like not the ability to finish with his right foot, but also the kind of really deadly finishing with his right foot. But going back to Mbappe, because I think that is, you know, one of the great things about his game is that he can kind of go either way. Couple of other Champions League bits from this week. Obviously, Man City cruising past Copenhagen. Talking about volleys.
Alvarez, though.
Mamor Kanji.
Go on. That was a brilliant goal. Really good goal.
But that's the thing about City is some of their defenders just pull out these elite finishes and you're like, how are we meant to do this? how are we meant to sustain?
Can I just shout out the best goal of this game, though?
Please.
The Copenhagen goal.
Go on then,
Copenhagen
go on.
Goal was the best goal of the game. It's an unbelievable
it
move. Down
nice.
The left-hand side, little back heel assist in like lovely finish. And Harry Kane
beautiful.
Got a brace.
What does it mean,
Tuesday
Ryan?
Well.
Yeah,
what
Harry
it
Kane.
Mean?
Harry Kane's got to get some love. That's what's 33 goals in all
doing
competitions.
Well this
33
season.
Games.
Doing well.
33 and 33. Yeah.
33, 33.
Well
first, is he the first Englishman to get 50 goals in Europe?
Probably.
Something like that.
Probably.
Unbelievable.
I can't think of anyone else.
Yeah.
I don't think
amazing.
Rooney got those numbers.
Amazing what's
at all.
Happening.
Yeah, he's doing really well there.
Amazing
man.
What's
and
happening.
And you know what? This is the funny thing. I think in the Bundesliga, the fact has been lost. I think Bayern still have a higher points total at this stage of the season than they did last season. It's just that Leverkusen are on an absolute tear. And
they're
still unbeaten, by the way, because they got a last-minute equaliser from Patrick
last
Schick.
Ridiculous.
But can we shout out Janinho's second goal in this game?
The second goal, the
My
way he...
God, that little...
You've got to see that goal, everybody. The way he bounces it. And he's so close to him, right? It's just the audacity. It's a beautiful thing to see.
So
you know
good.
What I mean? When they showed it and they showed it close... And you see him, the ball's bouncing, and he does it on purpose. You see him with the sole of his foot.
So good.
He bounces it down, and it bounces over the keeper, almost like, you know when Ozil does that bounce into the ground finish? It's because he's doing it on purpose. He saw where the keeper was, and he bounced it over him. It just, I was thought, oh my God, that's gangster.
It was
and
so
even
good.
Florian Wirtz's goal.
Oh,
Florian Wirtz's goal.
So good.
He's... Brilliant,
he's
isn't he?
So good. He scored some unbelievable goals this season as well.
He's brilliant,
I mean,
man.
Bear in mind, this guy was like brilliant. Out for pretty much a season with an ACL injury at such a young age. And it's really worrying when you see players like that have that kind of injury at that age. And he's come back. He's been just fucking
he's
unbelievable.
Been unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So that means, yeah, Leverkusen is still unbeaten in all comps this season, which is wild.
Can they be Can Bayern catch them?
No. I mean, they can mathematically.
Right.
You don't think so? You don't think so?
No. 10 points now.
Really?
10 points, 10 to play, I think.
Wow.
But yeah, just a quick shout for Roma who beat Brighton 4-0. They absolutely... Daniele De Rossi's doing a really good job at Roma, actually. I'm quite impressed that...
Shockingly, I did not expect it to go this well. I thought it was going to be a kind of Frank Lampard.
No, but fair play, man. Fair play. Liverpool... Should we talk about Darwin Nunez's goal?
Yes, please.
Against Sparta Prague. Liverpool winning 5-1 against Sparta Prague. Which one we talked about? Well, both. Both were absolutely sick.
He has an angry finish vibe to him because he always wants to hit the ball really hard. And I think that sometimes that counts against him. But think about that Forest late winner. Like, everything is quite angry. And I think that helps him but hinders him sometimes when, especially in the Arsenal game at Emirates where he was just like, as soon as he gets a chance, he's like, boom.
I just love the there's a beautiful chaos to him. There's something. It just feels like that about him. This is why when he does finish and he finishes clinically, he looks amazing. He looks like, wow, complete and unbelievable. Then you see, like you say, Flo, the lack of composure in certain moments. But I just feel the header against Forest was just so, when you watch it down the goal and you can see he's doing everything what he's doing to get it down and flick it down in it. I was delighted for him because he's somebody that I've kind of backed from the start, just simply going off of some of the chances that he misses. And you think, but he's never afraid to get back into that position, whether he's going to blast it or he's going to finish it well. He's never afraid to get back in there. And he doesn't never feel like he's being like tentative about it. He's never tentative. Right. And that says to me... Again, once you get to a place of confidence where you say, I'm not bothered, I'm gonna play in the next game, I'm gonna start, I'm just gonna finish this how I want.
But both goals in this game are great. Did you see Klopp's thing afterwards when he was asked about signing a Sparta Prague player?
Yeah.
And he was just
he
like
said to do what? To bring him on like, holiday with me?
I'm retiring at the end of the season. What do you want me to do? Bring
I'm
him
retiring.
On holiday? Klopp's having a lovely time. Quick shout for Rangers who got a draw in Benfica and probably they were unlucky actually, I think. I think the penalty is a bit harsh. Do you want to shout out Oba's goal?
You know what? I saw Oba's goal, and I don't know. I don't know if it was a cross. And the only reason why I say that is because there's somebody in the box where you're thinking from the angle that Oba's at, you know what I mean? Probably was he trying to lift that to the far post? You know what I mean? So, but I'll take it. I'll take it. Was he got 22 goals this season?
Well.
I'm really pleased for him.
Anything else you want to shout out from this week?
Hey, why don't we talk about QPR getting a point against West Brom?
Wow. QPR are playing a good, consistent
way. We're playing elite right now. We've had one defeat.
Oh my God, you've got elite.
We've played, no, that's silly. We've had one defeat in 9 games. We've beaten Leicester, who are top. We beat them last weekend. We got a draw with West Brom, who are 5th in decent form, and we should have won that game. They had 2 handballs. One we got a penalty for, missed it. The other one, handball off the line, no penalty given.
Wow. Oh my God, could you believe
there
that?
Hand
of God, that was.
There was a late bicycle kick that Darnell Furlong cleared off the line for West Brom as well. So
a nice tribute to Stan
and
Bowles
a great,
as well. Brilliant tribute to Stan Bowles with the number 10 shirt. When we was younger, Stan Bowles, he was brilliant. It was brilliant. He was one. My brother loved Stan Bowles because beautiful left foot and all that stuff. And I remember reading about when he played for England, he had 2 boot sponsors, signed one, then another one. And he wore 1 boot of each. That is Stan Bowles, baby.
The thing, I think, you know, everyone talks about George Best in the 70s and how he was like this, you know, celebrity, mercurial, amazing figure that was one of the first players, I guess, alongside like Pele and people like that to really cross that divide culturally between football and fashion and lifestyle and celebrity and music and everything. And I think Stan Bowles was maybe a version of that that didn't get quite the same recognition
levels,
because he didn't play for a club like Manchester United and he didn't get as big an he only got 1 cap, I think,
yes,
for England.
It was so 1 cap.
His international performances weren't the same. But in terms of English domestic football at the time, especially in the kind of late 70s, early 80s, he was that sort of
maverick.
Hilarious maverick figure, smoking, drinking, gambling, all sorts, and was famous for just not really giving a shit.
Yeah.
And I think there are so many great stories, but I do think it's amazing to sort of remember characters like that who could somehow play so well despite all the shenanigans. Because you can't do that anymore. I mean, elite football is not that way anymore. You can't be doing that.
So I'm glad. It was a brilliant, brilliant show of respect for Stan Bowles. I was really pleased about that with QPR. I didn't expect any less, to be honest.
Thank you so much.
That's Flo's QPR allotment for the season done.
Nice one.
Before we go,
QPR corner.
Before we go, should we look ahead quickly to... There's a big game in the Premier League this weekend. Liverpool-Man City on Sunday.
It's a massive game
in the title race.
Really looking forward to this game. I really see fireworks in this game. They have to beat them. It's at home. You know, it's at home. You know, you've been playing very well. This is where you see what City are about if they're going to kick into it, because they'll go there and firstly they don't want to lose, but they will make sure they do not lose this game. That's the thing with City's going in this game. And Liverpool at home, like I said with Arsenal, they have to win this game. Both of us, Arsenal and Liverpool, have to beat City. They have to beat them.
You think Liverpool
if they're going
to
go
win,
on
have to win?
Yes, they have to beat them to get more distance. Plus, they know that they're going to have to beat everybody else as well. The main thing is to beat City. It's the same when we go there in a couple of weeks, whatever it is. We have to beat them, but we have to beat Brentford. It's like this is where the season is.
Yeah, you have to be perfect now.
Yeah, and this is where it's very exciting, because this is where you see the characters, this is where you see the heroes, this is where you see, unfortunately, the villains. Because things now are going to cost you.
I do think it's going to be I think the home advantage is massive, because going into the cup final at Wembley, obviously there was a big Liverpool crowd there and that was massive, but with all those injuries, a lot of people said it was going to be really tough, and they came through and it was a huge galvanizing moment. And I think I feel the same sort of challenge for them in this game with all of their injuries still: Trent out, Alisson out, Jota out, Curtis Jones out, Gravenberch out, Salah back. He played in the Europa League for about 15-20 minutes or so. So that's massive. But I think the injuries are still a huge challenge, but their kids have kind of proved themselves now. So I don't know how much you can use that anymore. But I think The Chelsea Cup final proved a lot about them with these injuries, mm-hmm. and the Anfield crowd will help them. But I think exactly. it's going to be a really, really, really tough game.
I think they're going into it knowing all that. I know that Klopp won't use it as an excuse with the players that are missing, but they could beat City now. With the crowd will be a massive factor. Let's not get that wrong. Let's make sure we don't forget that. That would be an unbelievable boost for them. Mm. That'd be an unbelievable boost for them. Beating them with the team that they're going to be able to put out in this game is, and if they can beat them, Liverpool, which like I say, they have to, it will be an unbelievable boost for them. This is where it's tough for Arsenal. They've got a Liverpool side with a manager that's getting ready to leave, a team that's got the shoulder to the wheel now, pushing Man City, proving, listen, can we do the double treble? You know what I mean? We've got to show them that we won't crack at this stage of the season. So we've got to make sure that we show what we've got. And Liverpool, obviously, and Arsenal having to, listen, everybody say we might bottle it, this and that. We're going to show it's brilliantly poised.
I also think it's really funny how the narrative is different for these two, for Arsenal and Liverpool, because I think when you look at what Arsenal were doing last season, tons of late goals, and it ended up being, oh, they can't keep doing that. There's a stroke of luck, you know, that doesn't show dominance. You can't rely on those late bits to win you a league. This season, the narrative around Liverpool has been, it's because it's Klopp's last season. They can dig deeper. It's a fairy tale. And I do think the same way that Arsenal ran out of gas last season, mm-hmm. obviously all of Liverpool's injuries is building that narrative too. But I do think the fact that Liverpool have relied on a lot of late goals and those amazing late moments, I do think that will work against them to a point. Ooh. I know Liverpool. I do think relying on late goals, it's the same way that it impacted Arsenal last season. I do think...
Well, you think that runs out? That luck
I
runs
do
out.
Think it runs out. I do think, and I know it's different for mentality and belief, but I do think it's really hard to sustain that. I still think you need to create a ton of chances. And the way that Arsenal are sticking away teams who, oh yeah, are struggling, but still that goal difference counts for a lot. And that confidence in front of goal counts for a lot. When 3 months ago, we were looking at Arsenal thinking, oh my God,
they can't score.
I think even though it's so impressive and everything is pointed to in this fairy tale ending for Klopp, I do think that makes me think that Liverpool could be the first ones to run out of steam.
Yeah, but what if they keep this going though, Flo? This is what you need. It's those kind of last minute kind of those game saving, like the Forest one, is what you need
I think it's so hard to sustain.
Phase. It is very hard to sustain because you don't know when it's coming, but the players have to have the capability of continuing to go for it like that. And so as they can get that like Nunes done, but then you're trying to get to a certain place so as you can, it can coincide with the players coming back. So then the confidence will come. That's what you have to do now. You have to say, well, if that's how we're going to do it, we have to dig in there right until the end. And that's what Liverpool are doing at the moment. And yes, of course, it's not sustainable because if another team defends really well or they're hitting them on a break or something, then it's over. But I think they're getting it done at the moment. They're getting it done. And maybe they out of the three, what you're saying, they're most fragile at the moment with what they're going through. But I still think that their capabilities, the fans and what the manager leaving, it's giving them something else. It's giving them something else.
Well, time will tell.
Time will tell.
I think Liverpool's running in the league is a little bit kinder as well.
True.
But I think the most difficult things they've got to do after the City game are they've got a derby against Everton at Goodison, and they go to Man United in the FA Cup and the league. I think it depends
Arsenal
on Europe
got
as
some
well.
Tough games.
Arsenal's got a tough run in. They've got to go to Old Trafford. They've got to go to Spurs. They go to City.
City.
They host Chelsea. So
what about Villa? Is Villa in
Villa
there?
Villa at home.
Yeah.
So there's some
North London derby at Spurs is going to be tough.
This is the thing that makes this Liverpool City game on Sunday so big, is that because it's not just a two team title race, it's a three team title race. It's just maybe I'm saying it means more.
Mm-mm. Can I just say just with
as Ellie
Porto,
Goulding once said, anything can happen.
You know what I think with the Porto game, Rye. As long as you're getting through there, Flo, and you get into a certain place, there's all of a sudden, you click into, right, here we go. Now, obviously, if Arsenal get into the quarterfinals, you do click into, right, here we go. We can, yes, we go. But I believe if Arsenal, as disappointed as I'd be if they went out to Porto, because I think we're better than what we showed against Porto. And I think that when we play them at home, we're going to probably show them that. I'm not really bothered about that. The main thing for me is that there's a certain time in the Champions League where you start thinking, right, we've got a, yes, here we go. And I think that is quarterfinals and maybe semifinals, to the point where I think, does that then take our eye off of the Premier League goal? Because then all of a sudden, you've got both of them, which you have to put equal amount of intensity and play and consistency in. And you know what I mean? The pressure just mounts then. That's an amazing amount of pressure then. I want us to win the Premier League this season. We'll win the Champions League next season.
You've got to go one step at a time.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I'm saying.
I just think you've got to lean into the best chance you have. And I do think that's the Premier League.
I think, to be honest, I genuinely think there's as much of a chance in the Champions League as the Premier League. I think it's two, but also two legs in the Champions League, you know, getting through until the final, I think it gives you more of a chance to right any wrongs. In the Premier League, it's like one game is, and that can have a massive, massive effect on the whole thing.
Yes. Listen, I'm going to say goodbye. Ryan, I'll see you soon. Thanks very much, Ryan. See you soon, Flo.
Yeah.
You okay?
See you next week.
Nice one. I love you, Flo.
Love
you. I love you. I love being on here with you. Ryan, I love you too, my friend.
I love you too.
We'll be back next week. I'm really looking forward to this weekend because there's a lot happening this weekend. Good luck to all of your teams, man. But thank you very much, Flo Lloyd Hughes. Thank you very much, Ryan Hun. We'll be back on Tuesday. I think we're going to do a podcast after the Porto game. So look forward to that. Fingers crossed. Until then, I'll speak to you then. Take it easy, guys. Have a good weekend.